Hey guys, guess what? Sounds like the special teams weren't so special to the Hurricanes in game one.
Coming to you from the heart of Canes country, this is the Caniac Report. Your number one source for everything Carolina Hurricanes. Hot takes, predictions, game analysis, and NHL news. And now your hosts, Sam Wallace and Sam Driscoll.
All right, we're back with another episode of the Caniac Report, and it is just me, Sam Wallace, again. Sam Driscoll was barely able to watch this game as he was traveling for the weekend, so we only got to watch a small portion of it, which was like the last half of the third period. So it's just going to be me in this episode. Sorry if I sound a little bit congested. I am battling a cold and have been battling a cold pretty much since the weekend started. So bear with me if my voice sounds a little cruddy. So first things first, we will get to our news portion, which is broken down by NHL news first, Hurricanes news first, and then we will get to game one. And I mean, game one, all I'm going to say before I get to the game, special teams is what costed the Hurricanes. That's how I mentioned it or opened up the episode with my one-liner. So, first things first, we have a great partnership with SeatGeek. You get $20 off of your first purchase if you use code CANIACREPORT, all one word. It's a great deal if you are trying to save as much money as possible on tickets, and with probably this series going to, hopefully, going to of us winning it, but if it gets to a long series, hopefully you'll have a few chances to use that SeatGeek promo. The next piece of news is we have a link for donations. If you feel like you want to donate, there's a link for it in our episode descriptions every time you listen to it. So if you listen to it through Apple or through Spotify, it's in the episode description. If you listen to our episodes through our website, which is also posted in each of our episode releases, there's a button for PayPal account, and it will direct you to our donation. So that's all for podcast news. Now we'll get to some NHL news. Seems like there are a few more finalists being revealed for trophies. I know the Calder Trophy was nominated for Luke Hughes, Connor Bedard of Chicago, Luke Hughes obviously for New Jersey, and Brock Faber for Minnesota. I was hoping to see Kochetkov possibly in it, but seeing those three guys, I can a little bit understand. But we all know Connor Bedard is going to win the best rookie of the year trophy in the Calder Trophy. So that's a pretty obvious win I think everybody saw coming. And another set of finalists has been revealed for the Selke Trophy, which is named for the best defensive forward. And I was really happy to see who was on that list. You have Alexander Barkov, Austin Matthews, which a little bit surprised me, and Jordan Staal. I was so happy to see Jordan Staal as a finalist for the Selke Trophy. He is definitely a very good defensive forward. In fact, I think he won the majority of his faceoffs in this game one loss against the Rangers. So he's definitely been very good defensively, and we all knew he is a very good defensive forward. And all I'm going to say about this trophy, do I think Staal's going to win? No. But I do think Barkov is probably going to win just because he is more of a two-way type of center. And I can't see anybody else not winning it other than Barkov. I love Staal to death. I really do. If he wins it, I am going to be so happy. A bit surprised, but I'll be very happy overall if Staal does win the Selke Trophy. And the next set of finalists is for the Lady Byng Trophy. And if you don't know what that trophy exhibits, it's given to the best sportsmanship type of player. And the three finalists are Austin Matthews, Elias Pettersson, and Jacob Slavin. And you can tell just from, like, the penalty minutes, that's kind of what they're kind of going off of a bit. But kind of like with Barkov for the Selke Trophy, I really think it's Slavin's to lose. Because this guy is a defenseman who's gotten a total of 8 penalty minutes. I wouldn't be surprised if they were all delay of game penalties. Now, do I remember any of those penalties that he made? No, I do not. Unfortunately, I don't. But Slavin is truly one of the, I would say probably the best defensive defenseman without taking lots of penalties. And if you're a defenseman not taking a lot of penalties and is playing the ice time that Slavin is, you are considered an elite level defenseman amongst the best in the NHL. So I am very happy that Slavin was nominated and was named a finalist for the trophy. And I think he really should get the trophy because as a defenseman, you're going to get more ice time than the forwards. That's usually how it is. So that's all for NHL news. And for Hurricanes news, didn't really see a whole lot. Now, I did notice one thing. And we talked about, Sam and I have talked about the Brendan Morth extension a ton the last episode. If you haven't listened to it, listen to it. But it seems like Tom Dundon was interviewed on 99.9 The Fan recently. And it seemed like he didn't really like the idea of that whole contract situation leaking out over the media. So I do think it was leaked out with a purpose to get Dundon to sign Brindamore. But I mean, I'll just give you guys my honest opinion. I think if they do not extend Brindamore, I think they're making a huge mistake. Now, do I think this team automatically goes into a rebuild? No. Part of the reason why, if you look at the market right now, half of the teams in the NHL has fired their coaches this year. Or I would say this past year. So, do I think this team automatically goes into a rebuild? No, because I think it has a very good players. And second, listen, I'm a Hurricanes fan. Above all else, I am a Hurricanes fan. I am a Rob Brindamore fan, but my Hurricanes fan surpasses that of being a Brindamore fan. And I think this team can with this set of players, can make it into the playoffs with a different coach because I think they are that good. Now, obviously, there's a question of can they win a Stanley Cup? That is a whole different conversation for a different episode. But I am a Hurricanes fan above all else. Above all else of me even being a Brindamore fan. So, if Brindamore is fired, yes. I think that is a true mistake by Dundon. But overall, I think with the players that we have, we can do it. Now, with that being said, heading into this offseason, we have half the team going into free agency or restricted free agency, as you would ever call it. So I think it's bad timing, too. Again, if you get into the details, Brindamore really needs to be the head coach. Like, he cannot ride off into the sunset like this. If he's riding off into the sunset, which he will eventually, he's not going to be the head coach forever, then it has to be ended on his terms, not the owner. So, ultimately, I am a Hurricanes fan above all else. That's all I'm going to say. So that's all for Hurricanes news. That was a bit of a ramble from me on the whole Brendan Moore thing. Now we are going to get to the loss against the Rangers. Hey, it was a close game. I will give it to the Hurricanes. A game that probably could have gone the Rangers' way. It was pretty close, especially in that first period. But before we do, let's get to our sponsor. The chase for the Stanley Cup is on, and if you're looking to light the lamp, nothing beats the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. From the start of playoff beards all the way to the hoisting of the cup, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boost, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code THPN only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boo Hill Casino and Resort, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/ice for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, responsible gaming resources. Copyright NHL 24. All rights reserved. Okay, first period. That was a bonkers of a first period. Four goals scored, and obviously you have Zibanejad scoring. That was a huge defensive lapse from one particular person in Teuvo Teravainen. It looks like he was chasing after something shiny over near the corner of the boards. But because of that, Zibanejad gets open, and you cannot leave Zibanejad open. He is one of the Rangers' best players, and he's going to capitalize on a goal if he is free in the open slot right in front of Anderson, and he scores. So, already a bad defensive play from Teravainen. I don't blame that on Anderson, for the record, because Teravainen needs to guard his man, and he was not able to do it, and Zibanejad scores. Now, do I think Anderson was at his top today? No, I do not, but that type of goal, I don't blame him for, because that was just a huge defensive breakdown right there. And that wasn't the only defensive breakdown that we saw tonight, or sorry, today. But Hurricanes do gain some life. I mean, Jacob Slavin scores from Aho and Gensel. Is that a bit of a lucky bounce? Absolutely. But you work for your luck. So Slavin was going to shoot because he believed there was an opportunity to score there. And it goes off of a Rangers stick right in that I believe the player that was guarding him right in front. And it takes a huge bounce into the air and it scores off of Shesterkin. And Shesterkin, I'm telling you, I thought that guy was beatable. I mean, we were able to get three goals on him, which is pretty good. If you can get 3 to 4 goals, I would say Carolina probably has a pretty good chance of winning a game. But when you lose special teams, it's hard to win in the playoffs. And that's what the Hurricanes did. Zibanejad scores on the power play. So does Trocheck. Now, I think Anderson probably could have established himself probably a little bit more on that Trocheck goal. But, I mean, those were two huge defensive breakdowns. Like, oh my word. It was just so bad. So, I mean, one thing I'm going to say, I'm not going to overreact after this one game. Because, basically, when you do not have home ice advantage, what you need to do is win at least one on the road and win at home. Do I think the Hurricanes are going to win all at home against a team like the Rangers? Maybe not. Can they? Absolutely. I thought this Hurricanes team got better as the game went along, because I thought their best period was in that third period. That was Hurricanes' type of hockey that was doing really good. But I mean, you're down heading to the second, 3-1. The Zibanejad goal, I mean, I'll touch on a little bit, but it's not as much different as the Trocheck goal, because Rangers basically had a 2-on-1 chance. And one thing I'll say about this penalty kill, if Rod wants to do it, wants to go with his penalty kill scheme one more time, that's fine. But if the Rangers score on that penalty kill, it needs to be changed up, because we've all noticed when it comes to the structure of that penalty kill, Hurricanes really like to do man on man. They really do. If the Rangers keep scoring on the penalty kill, I would advise Brendamore to mix it up. I'm talking about the structure, not the players, but the structure. And what I would probably do if I was Brendamore, if the Rangers score again on the power play, which you know they might get a power play the next game, they probably will, based on some of the iffy calls that I thought the officials made, and I will just go ahead and talk about the officials here. I thought they were getting both teams angry. I mean, the Rempe penalty, that should not have been a penalty. It really shouldn't have. Now, the D'Angelo hits, I mean, obviously there was a big debate. If you're watching on ESPN, there was a huge debate between PK Subban and Mark Messier. Mark Messier, obviously, on the Rangers side of things, I mean, he played for the Rangers. He was a huge part of the Rangers organization. I'm not surprised. But honestly, I thought that was a clean hit. I did. I am with Subban. I thought that was a clean hit all around. And I believe the other penalty that causes the Trocheck power play goal was Kuznetsov, a cross-check to the face. And when you see that replay, he didn't hit him in the face. So Adam Fox sold that a bit. Like, he really didn't hit him, but that's all I'm going to say. Regardless, though, Hurricanes lost not because of officiating. They lost because of a bad penalty kill. And if they were able to make up on either of the special teams tonight, like at least killed one of the penalties or scored on one of the five power play chances they've had, Hurricanes probably could have won this game. But they didn't. So, the back to the penalty kill scheme, I think Carolina, if this does not work for another time, I think what Carolina needs to do is they just need to do more of a zone defense type of thing and just crash to your goalie. Like, make all the Rangers players be blocked out from Anderson. That's probably what I would do. Because it seems like the Rangers had it very too easy. If they go, if Brendamore goes at it again, that's fine. But, I mean, you can tell our penalty kill likes to get up into the players' faces. You might need to crash the nets. You just might. Just to help your goalie out. Because you were not helping your goalie out on those two power play goals. Now, second period. Nothing really happened. I thought, I mean, 5-on-5 probably in the first period was probably even. Second, I think Carolina may have had a little bit better. I thought the second period was a little bit more controlled. A little bit more of a Hurricanes type of hockey that they would want. But nothing was going. And to be honest, I thought one of the best players tonight was Martin Necas. I thought he was really trying, and he does get a goal in the third period. He scores off of a great pass from Martinuk and Orlov, and now you have some hope. You really do. And then you have Artemi Panarin scoring to make it 4-2. To me, I thought that was the dagger. I was like, okay, Carolina can possibly tie this, but they cannot let another one in. And they did. Now, that goal, I do blame on Frederik Andersen. He needs to stop that. I know there are probably some Hurricanes fans, I think I saw it on Twitter too, that Burns probably should have been better on, or more on Panarin there. Andersen needs to stop that. It's playoff hockey. You need to stop that. That is no excuse of letting that puck go in. Really isn't. So, I thought that was the dagger right there. And it's 4-2. Now, Hurricanes make it interesting. And probably, I honestly would consider, after Anderson's performance today in the loss against Game 1, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Kachuk off the next game. And to be honest, I think it might be good, because I think Anderson does not like losing the starter's crease. And I think if he sees Kachuk off next game, I don't think he's going to be happy. And if Benmore sees that he's not happy, and if Kachekov loses, obviously, Kachekov, I think, has to lose in order for Anderson to come back to net in the starter crease, then Anderson might play a little better because he has a chip on his shoulder. But I probably will start Kachekov the next game, personally. And I think two of the goals Anderson probably should have had. Two of them. But third period, I mean, with Nexus scoring, I mean, that was the period of Carolina hockey. Carolina was so good 5-on-5 in that third period. And that is the key. That is the key to this Rangers team. Is you know how to beat them? Beat them 5-on-5. I didn't think Shesterkin was that good of a goalie today. I really didn't. I mean, Shesterkin let in that Natchez goal out of Fievel. Like, if I was a Rangers fan, I'd be like, Shesterkin needs to have that. Now, breakdown, obviously, defensively. But Shesterkin needs to have that Natchez goal. Now, Jarvis scores while we pull our goalie, and it's an empty net. That was awesome. And apparently, right after that, you have the Rangers committing a penalty, which is a dog pog, delay of game. And honestly, the refs had to look at or discuss that for a long time. That was an obvious delay of game penalty. I don't know why they were discussing that long. But ultimately, they made the right call. They did. So, I will credit to the officials for that. Now we have a 6-on-4 power play. Okay, we could possibly do this. We really could. And then Svetch, this is one penalty that I do think was a penalty. Svetch goes for the trip, and to me, that eliminates the chance of the Hurricanes trying to tie this game. Now, it didn't have to be like this. Again, that first period could have been different. It really could have. But the Hurricanes were very sloppy on the PK. I don't care what the officials say. Listen, I don't agree with what the officiating did that first period. And apparently on that whole D'Angelo hit, officials should not actually have just switched the penalty to D'Angelo from Natchez. Because apparently you cannot do that. That was a discussion, I think, from Corey Lavalette on Twitter. Thank you for pointing that out. I know scouting the refs made a comment on it by being like, well, it was more of a communication problem. And I'm like, well, you know what? Part of the job for officials is communicating, so they did that wrongly. So, D'Angelo getting a 2-minute roughing minor. Okay, I didn't like the penalty, but at least they put the right guy in the box, because Natchez did nothing. He really did do nothing. But back in that third period, I mean, I thought Carolina was so much better. They really built a game, honestly, in a way that this game was closer than it probably should have been. Because Rangers looked like they were going to hound us after that first period. But Carolina fought back. And that is what is, I mean, amazing about this game team is that they keep fighting back. That's what's amazing when Brendan Moore is coaching this team. Another reason why Brendan Moore should not go. But Carolina, they lose 3-4. Honestly, I'm not going to be in freakout mode. It's just one game. But Carolina needs to be better on the special teams. They need to at least make it even. If you don't score anything on the power play, at least don't get them to score on the penalty kill. Because if you do that, at least the Rangers aren't scoring. But, well, guess what they did in game one today? They lost on the power play, and they lost on the PK side of things. You're not going to win like that against this team that thrives on special teams. And Sam Driscoll wanted me to say that because that was his one thought after this game. And I agree, special teams is what killed the Hurricanes. So I would say a few keys to the game for game two. One, stay out of the penalty box. Now, granted, I think it's going to be interesting how the officials dictate this series, because Rangers are a very physical team. And I could see it going in a way where the Hurricanes, whenever they try to be physical, or whenever they try to land a big hit, aka Tony DeAngelo, they'll be penalized for it. So you're getting in trouble for lack of physicality, but you get punished for physicality by the officials. That's a hard place to be in. So I would say, I mean, Hurricanes probably need to be physical, but in a legal way. And I think they showed most of that tonight. Again, I really didn't think the DeAngelo hit was a penalty. I really didn't. But, I mean, with it being a little bit high, maybe callable. But overall, I thought that was just playoff hockey right there. Another key, too, is, I mean, yeah, I say special teams, but I would say my three keys: penalty kill, power play, and a little bit better goaltending from Frederik Andersen. Although if he doesn't play, then Kochetkov needs to play solid against the Rangers. So those are my three keys to game two. And special teams, if they can be better, I think they can win. Hurricanes, I thought, were the better team 5-on-5. In the third period, they were. Second period, I thought they were a little bit better, even though Rangers looked a little bit good. It was a wide-open game. It was an exciting game. But I thought the Rangers, I mean, they really kind of put it on the Hurricanes in that first period. That was just the backbreaker. And one thing, too, I mean, that fourth line of Kuznetsov, KK, Nason, while that's not bad, I think Bryn Moore probably needs to be a little bit more open-minded and maybe put Brandon Lemieux in over KK. You know what you're getting with Lemieux. And with a Rangers team that's very, very physical, you probably need a little bit of protection and physicalness, and Lemieux brings that 100%. Again, do it in a way where the officials aren't going to call penalties on you. That's the big thing. So honestly, I am still in on Lemieux over KK, because Rangers are a physical team. That's how they play. So yeah, honestly, win one on the road, and I really think at home you can win against the Rangers. And Shesterkin, we put three goals on Shesterkin. He's beatable. Really is. That's all. Our next episode will be Wednesday morning, as we'll be recapping game two.
Thanks for listening to the Kaniac Report. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss a future episode. Can't get enough of the Kaniac Report? For more content or to connect with the Sams, check them out on Instagram and Twitter @the Kaniac Report. We'll see you next time.